This evening I'm going to take up in the study of the Scripture immediately where we left off last Sunday evening in the study of the 13th chapter of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. Therefore, I'm inviting all of you now to open your New Testament, first of all, to the 13th chapter of the Revelation of Jesus Christ. In a moment, we're going to be looking also, as you keep that open, to one or two Old Testament passages as well. I think it is interesting to note that in the days of the American colonies, American preachers, American politicians, and even citizens of the colonies in general tended to apply Bible prophecy in large degree to this country. I'm not sure how much you are aware of that, but it is an interesting fact. It may help us to remember it so that we can try to keep some perspective and recognize the danger of the tendency to make application sometimes out of immediate circumstances. Our immediate circumstances in the world often lead us into the temptation of concluding that immediate things are necessarily fulfillment of biblical prophecy. I mentioned last Sunday evening how the Reverend Samuel West, on May the 9th, 1776, to the House of Representatives of the Massachusetts Bay Colony, preached a sermon on the 13th chapter of the Revelation. He said, "It is a prophecy of God's hatred against tyranny of tyrants and those who follow them," meaning primarily Great Britain, who was at that time, of course, the great threat and enemy of the American people. It was common in those days for American preachers and American politicians to take biblical themes and biblical prophecies and apply them to this country. For example, Daniel chapter 7, verse 25, "And the saints of the Most High shall possess the kingdom," was generally interpreted as a reference to the colonies. They believed that this nation had a millennial future. And there have been in the history of the study of Bible prophecy a large number of those kinds of interesting interpretations. They serve to us as a reminder of the danger of being drawn by immediate circumstances into the conclusion that what we see around us is necessarily a fulfillment of Bible truth. What we really have in the 13th chapter of the Revelation, it seems apparent, in the opening 10 verses, you remember, the vision of an animal rising up out of the sea. And as we've looked at that, it has become clear, I think, that that is the symbol of a government, of a very popular and irresistible totalitarian government, vehemently antagonistic to God and to God's people, that is going to rule the world for 3.5 years, immediately preceding the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. That much of the understanding of those verses seems to me to be fairly obvious. Do we know anything more about that future government? I believe that we do. I believe that we know something of its identity, and that we know this of its identity from the Old Testament passages that may relate to it. That government pictured there seems to be a future extension of the historical Roman Empire, and also a picture of its future dictator. We learned that last Sunday evening as we looked at two chapters in the book of Daniel, the Hebrew prophet who lived some 600 years before Christ. And in his book, the book of Daniel, two chapters recorded two visions, amazing visions. One of those was the vision of an image, and the image was constituted by four distinct parts. And finally, the fourth part of that, its legs
and feet formed of iron and clay are smitten by a great stone and destroys the total image, and the kingdom of God comes about on this earth. That was a vision that had been given to the king of the Babylonian Empire, but recalled and interpreted for him by the Hebrew prophet Daniel. Another chapter in the book of Daniel also saw a vision, this one of four animals. And in the days of the fourth animal, the kingdom of God was established on earth. Both of those visions were interpreted by the prophet himself. And both of those visions were interpreted as meaning by the explicit statement of Daniel that there were going to be four mighty Gentile governments who would rule Israel and the world. And in the day of the fourth of those governments, the kingdom of God would end that fourth world government and would be established in this earth. I think this evening it is not necessary for me once again to go back to the references that indicated that in our study last Sunday evening. Tonight I want to begin at that point and continue in the study of this government pictured in the 13th chapter of the Revelation. In the two visions given in Daniel of these four governments, you may remember that I have indicated that the scriptures, I believe, identify that beast of Revelation 13, verses 1 through 10, as being the same as that fourth beast whom Daniel saw, and the same as the government represented in the image by the legs of iron and clay and the feet. That kingdom, that fourth and final kingdom, is revealed in the scriptures to have a final form that is made up of a 10-member coalition. That is a feature that is revealed in all three of these pictures. For a moment now, as you keep your Bible opened at the 13th chapter of the Revelation, look back with me to the Old Testament prophet Daniel, chapter 2. I want to stress in our study this evening the fact that in each instance, the fourth government is revealed to have its final form as a 10-member coalition. In chapter 2, you will notice these words found in verses 33 and 34 and 41. The image, legs of iron, its feet partly of iron and partly of clay. You continued looking until a stone was cut out without hands and struck the statue on its feet of iron and clay and crushed them. And farther down, the indication is that at that point, God's kingdom is established forever in this world. It is not insignificant that the feet and toes are specified, because in verse 41 of this same chapter, you will note that that item and that feature is pointed out as being of significance. And in that you saw the feet and toes, partly of potter's clay and partly of iron, it will be a divided kingdom. But it will have in it the toughness of iron, inasmuch as you saw the iron mixed with common clay and as the toes and so on. It is obvious in this image that the fact that the image has feet and 10 toes have significant. And that is not an unimportant feature, or it is not an unintended feature. It is specified as being a feature of great significance. Because we will discover that in this prophecy of those great governments that were to rule Israel and the world, the last form of the last government will be a 10-member coalition, according to the features that we will notice. Similarly to that, if you look in the 7th chapter of the book of Daniel and the 7th verse, where we have the other picture of these governments, in the vision that was given to Daniel, once more in the fourth beast, there is a feature about that fourth beast that is pointed out as having significance. At the 7th verse, these words, "After this I kept looking in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, dreadful and terrifying and extremely strong, and it had large iron teeth. It devoured and crushed and trampled down the remainder with its feet, and it was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. That issue is made to be significant. The fourth beast had 10 horns, and that is pointed out as being important and as being significant. And when we look over in the New Testament to the 13th chapter of the Revelation, that same feature once more is declared in that image to be also significant. For in the Revelation, that 13th chapter in the first verse, you will notice at the end of that verse these words, "And on his horns were 10 crowns. And those crowns are understood and even are inferred in this chapter to refer to 10 sources of power and authority. So one of the features that we want to notice in Bible prophecy is that these visions indicate not only that there were to be 4 great world governments of Gentiles, but the fourth one, which was to be the last one, which one would be concluded by the establishing of God's kingdom, the fourth one in its final form, is always pictured with this feature: 10 toes, 10 horns, 10 crowns. And each time those features are specified to be significant. In its final form, it will be a 10-member coalition, these symbols seem to indicate. And thirdly, let me point out that in all of these images, that final form of that fourth government has as its last period of time a 7-year period of time. And in that 7-year period of time, the most significant is the last 3.5. So that, for example, as you look back now to the prophet Daniel, to chapter 7 as an illustration of that, you will notice there in the 25th verse these words, "And he will speak out against the Most High and wear down the saints of the Highest One." This is a reference to that fourth beast. Going back to verse 23, the fourth beast will be a fourth kingdom. As for the 10 horns, you notice verse 24. Remember that I have said that in each instance that 10 is of significance. "As for the 10 horns, out of this kingdom 10 kings will arise. And he will speak," verse 25, "against the Most High, and wear down the saints of the Highest One," and so on. And at the end of that verse, "they will be given into his hand for a time, times and half a time. That, especially because of other New Testament indications, is clearly understood to be a time, one times two, and a half a time, three and a half. So that in the 13th chapter of the Revelation, as you look back there very quickly for a moment, we find in the 5th verse of the chapter these words, "And there was given to this beast that has the 10 crowns a mouth speaking arrogant words and blasphemies, and authority to act for 3.5 years, 42 months. Or if we look back earlier in the preceding chapter, chapter 12, and the 14th verse, where the nation Israel is pictured as fleeing finally from this great government, this powerful government, we see that she is pictured as fleeing into the wilderness, where she is nourished for a time and times and half a time from the presence of the serpent. So again, in all three of these, there is the clear indication that in its last 10-member coalition form, this final government will have its last time of great and awful power for a last 3.5-year period of time, which is called in the New Testament the Great Tribulation. Now, I began the study this evening by saying that we do know, I think, something more about that fourth government, the one pictured in Revelation 13 as that future government, which is the same as the fourth government Daniel saw in all of his visions, and that we know the identity of it. When Daniel, first of all, when Nebuchadnezzar saw the image made up of four parts, Daniel said to him, "Those four parts are four great governments that will rise. You, Nebuchadnezzar, are the head of gold. Babylon was the first one." Then Daniel said to him, "After you will arise another great government, pictured by the chest of silver." We know that Babylon lasted. Those who are familiar with history know that Babylon, the great world kingdom, ruled the known world, the world of the Mediterranean, including Israel, from the year 612 B.C. until the year 539 B.C. But in the year 539 B.C., another great government destroyed the Babylonian Empire. The record of that is even given in the book of Daniel. The book of Daniel itself records how the Babylonian Empire was overthrown, and there followed a government, the government of the Medes and Persians, the Medo-Persian government. It, by the way, is specifically named. We will look at it in a moment. But in the year 539, the Babylonian Empire was overthrown by Darius the Mede, who conquered the city of Babylon, and Medo-Persia became the great empire that ruled the world. And under the Medo-Persian Empire, a commandment was given that the Jewish captives in Babylon would be permitted to go back and rebuild their city and rebuild their temple. The Babylonians had carried them away. The Babylonians had had three great deportations, 606 B.C. They had surrounded the city of Jerusalem and carried away people of Israel. 594 B.C., I believe it is, or 98, a second time, they carried away to Babylon the captives of Israel. And in 586 B.C., they leveled Jerusalem and carried away the citizens to Babylon. But when the Babylonian government fell to the Medo-Persians, and that second government began to rule the world, under that power, there was given a command that the Jewish people could go back and build again their city and their temple. And Medo-Persia ruled the world from the year 331 B.C. from the year 539 B.C. to the year 331 B.C. Daniel said to Nebuchadnezzar, "O Nebuchadnezzar, you are the head of gold. After you will come another kingdom, pictured by the chest of silver. And after that will come another great kingdom to rule my people and the world, pictured by the bronze." And so Medo-Persia was conquered by the third great power and government that ruled the world, Alexander the Great, and the Grecian Empire. Alexander the Great, who himself declared and directed that he should be called, and I quote, Alexander commanded that he himself would be called the king of the world. And indeed, for a short while he was. All who know ancient history know that Alexander conquered Babylon in the name of Greece. I'm so tempted to give historical things that I've learned about this. You remember how the Medo-Persians had destroyed that beautiful Acropolis in Athens. That today when you visit, you see the ruins. How the Persians had come against Greece and had almost wiped out the beauty of that magnificent city on the hill, the Acropolis. The ruins of it stand today. And in response to that, Alexander of Greece finally swept against the Persians and took the city of Babylon and ruled the world. And Greece, for a long period of time, succeeded the Medo-Persians in ruling the total world of his day. He died when he was only 33 years of age. And his kingdom was divided among his four generals. That in itself is a significant biblical theme. And by the way, that in itself, I think, is pictured for us in a very unusual way in the 8th chapter of Daniel, verses 20 through 22. You may want to look at that for a moment. Here is one of those startling and astounding Bible prophecies. I am reading at the 20th verse. "The ram which you saw with the two horns represents the kings of Media and Persia, and the shaggy goat represents the kingdom of Greece, and the large horn that is between his eyes is the first king," representing something that was to occur centuries later after this vision was given, Alexander. "And the broken horn and the four horns that arose in its place represent four kingdoms which will arise from his nation, although not with his power." And it is a startling and interesting fact of history that when Alexander the Great died at the age of 33 years, the great Grecian Empire was divided among his four great generals. And one of them became, the general was given the kingdom of Syria that included Israel and that part of the world. And that kingdom and the others continued to the year 63 B.C., the kingdom of the Seleucids. Three kingdoms have now passed. It is now the year 63 B.C. Alexander's kingdom has been divided, and in the Middle East, the Seleucids named after one of his generals, are reigning. And now the fourth great power comes. This fourth power has spread across the Mediterranean, has conquered all of the world, of that part of the world, and finally in the year 63 BC, takes the Seleucid Syrian kingdom and takes Israel. And then Rome rules the whole world. The fourth great kingdom that was to come and to rule the world. And Rome ruled the world until 426 after Christ. Interestingly, I think you will now read some words of the New Testament with special knowledge and interest. If you look to Luke's Gospel, chapter 2, and verse 1, you will now understand, perhaps even more fully, the significance of the words with which Luke begins this nativity account. Now it came about in those days that a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. Because 63 years earlier than this, approximately, Rome had captured that part of the Greek kingdom as the last, and now Rome ruled the world. And at the time of the birth of Jesus, a decree goes out from the Caesar, Augustus of Rome, that all the inhabited earth will have a census taken of it. Well, let me ask you some questions now, just very quickly. What about that fourth kingdom's statue's feet and toes? What about the animal's 10 horns? Or what about, in Revelation 13, the 10 crowns? And what of the destruction of the fourth kingdom by the coming of Messiah's kingdom? The fourth great Gentile government did successively come, and there were four great powers in the world that began in those days and continued down. But what about the prophecy that in its final form there would be a 10-member coalition that would be destroyed by the coming of Messiah's kingdom? The answer to those remarkable issues is found in the 9th chapter of Daniel. The 9th chapter of Daniel, and I this evening can just begin to introduce it, the 9th chapter of Daniel gives the resolution of those remarkable questions and issues that I mention. Reading at verse 24 and through verse 27, there is a remarkable time period. And in the next message that I bring, I want to break that time period down for you, but let me this evening simply give to you this feature about it. Daniel chapter 9, verses 24 through 27 indicated that those governments that we have just described were going to have a period of 490 years, and that at the end of 483 years, there was going to be an interruption in the program. That at the end of the 483rd year, Messiah would come. But after that, certain events were going to occur in an interim period. And then after that interim period had transpired, according to Daniel, then the last 7 years of that time would resume. And that fourth kingdom would be brought back into being in its 10-member coalition form. We will have to study that in some detail, but the teaching of the Scripture, the teaching of Daniel, seems to be that that fourth great kingdom, the Empire of Rome, is to have once again a restoration. And in its restoration, it will be a coalition of 10 great kingdoms who will once more exist in those last 7 years, and for the last 3.5 years will rule the whole world. And that is what John sees in the 13th chapter of the Revelation. An amazing prophetic picture. Beginning in the days of Daniel to the time of Christ, and then looking ahead to the time that is at the end. May God help us to get a grasp and an understanding of this part of Scripture. Let us pray. Now, our Father, we pray again as we have prayed so many times, and do once more ask, keep us from unwarranted dogmatism and help us to speak with the appropriate amount of tentativeness in these areas that sometimes admittedly are complex. And also we pray that you will deliver us from any preoccupation and speculation, that we might not become out of balance in the whole text of Scripture, yet keep us studying the Word of God, the Scriptures, that we may grow. For all Scripture is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be mature, thoroughly furnished to every good work. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We are dismissed.